to and told about by our Savior. And so when Jesus is teaching, oftentimes he is concerned with matters concerning the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, you'll find according to the New Testament, and really it comes in four aspects. We're only interested in the two that are mentioned. Predominantly in the New Testament, the two stages or the two aspects of the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is both literal and spiritual. We believe in a literal reign upon, and that is in future days, where Christ is going to set up his throne and kingdom and rule and reign upon the earth from the throne of David, his father, in Jerusalem. And he'll do so for a period of 1,000 years. He'll rule with a rod of iron. He will rule with great power and great authority. And what a day and a dispensation and what a kingdom that is going to be. But we're interested this morning in this aspect of the kingdom of God in its spiritual aspect. I believe when you study the life of Christ and the teachings of Christ, you'll find that Christ spake of both the literal and the spiritual kingdom aspects of the kingdom of God. And he did that throughout his earthly ministry from beginning to end. But particularly when you study the life and the ministry and the teaching of Christ, he seems to, in my study, to emphasize that of the spiritual kingdom of God. We can emphasize this in many places and in many ways. I'm mindful, and one of the ways in which it stands out the most in my mind is what Jesus said to Pilate in John 18. The accusations had been made to Pilate that Christ had said that he was a king. And Pilate is questioning him, "Art thou a king?" And Jesus simply said, "Thou sayest that." And they engage in this conversation, and here's what Jesus said: "My kingdom is not of this world." He would go on to say, "If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. They would draw their sword, and I would lead them into a physical battle, into a military might and war, and we would win the war, and we would establish a kingdom that was of the earth." But he said, "Hence, that is, in this moment of time, my kingdom is not of this world." In Luke chapter number 17, the Lord is speaking to the Pharisees, and they come questioning him about when the kingdom of God is going to come. Jesus said to them that the kingdom of God is not with observation. In other words, just saying you're looking for something that is physical, and you're looking for something you can see with the natural eye and with the human eye, but my kingdom has not come at this time to be observed through the realms of men's vision. But that did not mean the kingdom of God was not there. He would go on to teach them that the kingdom was near them and it was nigh unto them. And thus he was emphasizing the spiritual aspect of the kingdom of God. And so we have in mind here this morning this matter of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God can be studied this morning under many different headings, many different things that we could use to lead us in a topical study of the kingdom of God. We can look at, for instance, the preparation of the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter number 3, verses 1 through 3, the ministry of John the Baptist was to come and prepare the way of the Lord. What did he preach? He preached that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, that men should repent of their sin and believe the gospel. And it goes very detailed, and Jesus would speak in the ministry of John the Baptist that he had come to level out to knock down the high places and level out the low places, and to prepare the way of the king that was to come. The preparation of the kingdom of God and the ministry of John the Baptist. We can talk in the preaching of the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter number 1, this is what Christ in the opening of his ministry, the Bible said, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And so many want to get in theological debates about the message that Christ was preaching. He was simply preaching the kingdom of God. This is what the apostle Paul preached. Somebody said, well, all Paul preached was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. But you never preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ until you declare the things concerning Christ and his kingdom. You'll find that in Acts chapter number 19 and verse number 8, chapter 20, verse 25. And interestingly enough, prior to the death and the martyrdom of the apostle Paul, his 2 years in Rome, it is emphasized in Acts 28 and in verse 23 and 31 that anytime anyone would come to talk with Paul and have the gospel given to them, he never left out the subject pertaining to the kingdom of God. And what we could say there, the preaching of the kingdom of God. And so we still preach the kingdom of God today. There's the priority of the kingdom of God. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 6 and in verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That mankind ought to make it a priority to seek after the kingdom of God. He would emphasize this again in Mark chapter number 9 when he would talk about offenses and stumbling blocks to mankind entering into eternal life. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. He said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. He said, if your foot offends you, cut it off. And here's what the Lord said. He said, it'd be better that you would enter into the kingdom of God blind or whole or maimed than that friend to spend an eternity in that awful place where the fire is not quenched. And so it ought to be a priority today. Sinners ought to make it a priority, and saints ought to make it a priority. If you say you're saved and you claim to be one of the children of wisdom that Brother Tim spake of the family of God as this morning, your priority in life is not your job. Your priority in life is not to be to make money. Your priority of life is not just to make it by. Your priority in life is to save and be invested in matters concerning the kingdom of God. Amen. Let me say this morning, we can study the kingdom of God in the heading of the permitting into the kingdom of God. It's interesting to me that 15 times in the New Testament when it speaks of the kingdom of God, it is spoken of, Brother Tim, as something that is to be entered, something that men gain entrance into. My friend, listen, you're not accidentally, you weren't born your first birth in the kingdom of God. And you won't stumble into the kingdom of God. And you won't wake up one day accidentally in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is to be entered into. And my friend, we already quoted in Matthew chapter number 7, that many shall say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord. And the Lord said that they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And over, Jesus would give the gospel one day unto a rich man and give him commands about what was holding him back from entering the kingdom of God. And Christ was disturbed and brokenhearted. And that rich man walked away sorrowful. He walked away back to his own kingdom, back to his own riches, back to his own way of living. And Jesus said, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. My friend, there are stumbling blocks. That my friend will keep a man from entering entering by his own free will into the kingdom of God. My friend, to enter that kingdom based on what we decide about the Lord Jesus Christ. I can emphasize this point with the next one. That's the proximity of the kingdom of God. You see, there's another man that came to the Lord one day, and he said, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" And the Lord said, "Oh, I can answer that." And he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. The second is like unto it, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You know what that man answered to the Lord? Mike, you remember, you're a Bible student. He said, "Lord, thou hast rightly answered." He said, and he quoted those commands again. He said, "This is the greatest commandment, and it's not in that God delights in all sacrifice of burnt off, as delights in all burnt offering and sacrifice." And then Jesus looked at that man. The Bible said, when he saw that this man answered discreetly, you know what that means, Brother Tim? He answered with wisdom. There was wisdom growing in that man when he realized, hey man, it wasn't in the keeping the jot and the tittle of the law, but it was in a man's relationship to God. Not in the blood of bulls and goats and sacrifices that men could bring. But my friend, the Lord said, hey man, the kingdom of God is not far from thee. He said, you're that close, man. Hey man, you're beginning to turn on your own religion. You're beginning to understand all these things you're doing ain't going to be enough. And the Lord is getting ready to go to Calvary. And the Lord said, the minute you realize that I'm the one that's going to pave the way and give my blood, hey man, you're that close to the kingdom of God. Hey man, oh, can I say it must be in her and the proximity of the kingdom of God. You say, how far away is the kingdom of God? Can I say the fact you entered into these doors this morning and you're hearing a Bible message, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Hey, my friend, it is right there. It is right there. There for the entering. It is right there for the taking. It is right near you this morning. And the decision, if you're lost today, is yours. But if you choose to leave this service and go back to your own way, and my friend, what has come now will be very, very, very far from you. And we see the proximity of the kingdom of God. I didn't mean to get this worked up already. I'm about to blow a gasket. Hey, man, we can study the kingdom of God under the heading about the prayer for the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples come to the Lord and they say, Brother Mark, teach us to pray as John told his disciples also to pray. And Jesus said, well, that's easy. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And here's what he said. Here's how you pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so there is a desire in the heart of every child of God that is a disciple and is right with God. We're not building our own kingdom. We are praying that the kingdom of God would come. I will say maybe more about that in a moment. And I see in the Word of God, the heading of the kingdom of God, we can study it on the partnerships in the kingdom of God. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 4:11. He spake of individual men, and he referenced them as fellow and co-laborers in the kingdom of God. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I'm not in this by myself. I'm not alone in this thing of the kingdom of God. There are others that have been saved. There are others that have entered in. There are others who have been rescued. There are others who have saw it. There are others who are enjoying it. And so this morning, can I remind you that we're not alone? Can I tell you this morning, I'm glad I get to be in the kingdom of God with so many of you today. Amen. Those that are members of the family of God in this place and members of the family of God at large. I'm glad the redeemed of God, we have a partnership and a connection one with the other in the kingdom of God. I don't have no connection with those that are in the kingdom of darkness. I don't have a connection with those that, my friend, are in the kingdom of the devil. Oh, no, friend, you see, there was a change in my life. The Lord Jesus came to me one day, and the Bible said, Brother Larry, that He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm in the kingdom of light. If you've been brought out of darkness into the light, I'm here to tell you today, you may not like my style. You may not like my personality. You may not like how I do things. But, amen, if you're in the kingdom of God, I'm in the kingdom of God. And whether you like it or not, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, you're stuck with me. Amen, we are connected in the kingdom of God. Amen, don't run down those that are in this kingdom. Don't run down the family of God. Amen. I don't mean to hang up here. Amen. But I'm humored at times how people who claim to be saved run down other people who are in the family and in the kingdom as though they have it all nailed down and they deserve to be in the kingdom. Amen. The only reason you're in the kingdom, sir, and man, the only reason you're entered into the kingdom is by the good grace and the love of the Lord Jesus. And thank God we got in on the same ground. Amen. Oh, there ain't no big eyes and little U's. Amen. All of us, by the grace of God, have been brought in, and what a blessing it is to be partners with other citizens in the kingdom of God. Amen. That's good preaching. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 headings we could study this morning about the kingdom of God. Said all that to get to this one. Amen. In our text, and when you study the kingdom of God, and really, it's what the kingdom of God has to deal with, it is the matter and the aspect of the power of the kingdom of God. The power of the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter number 13 and in verse number 26, I believe it is, the Lord speaking of the day and the time of His literal kingdom that was and is to come, He said, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Amen. Amen. When it comes to the kingdom of God, and the King and the Lord and the Savior that rules in that kingdom, He is not the old man upstairs. He's not your bud. He's not some weakling or some weasel. Jesus said the day is coming when the Son of Man comes, that when He comes, He won't be wore out. He won't be weary. He won't be worried about anything. And when men see Him, they will see Him coming with great power and glory. In Mark chapter number 14, He speaks of this again in verse number, in Mark 14 and verse number 62. He said, and Jesus said, after they had asked Him, was He the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And so the emphasis is made in these verses and so many others, and we could reference even things that the Apostle Paul would teach in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and in chapter number 2. And what John the Beloved would reveal to you and I in the revelation of Jesus Christ about this coming of the Lord. It's not going to be done in weakness. Oh, in his first manifestation, they whipped him, they beat him, they plowed his back. They nailed his hands and feet to an old rugged cross. They planted a crown of thorns upon his head, and they thought they had rid themselves of this man who upset their apple cart. But my friend, he got up out of the grave 3 days later, and he ever lives, and can I say he's coming back. And according to Revelation 19, when he comes again, they're not going to crown him with thorns. They're not going to nail him to an old rugged cross. They're not going to tie him to Gabbatha's whipping post and beat him without mercy. Oh no, friend, he's coming with great power. He's coming with great authority. Over and over and over in the Word of God, the kingdom of God is associated with God and Christ being powerful. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I get that in the literal coming kingdom of Christ to this earth. But notice what he said in our text verse. He said that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, if this is about the literal kingdom, then Jesus lied. Because every one of the 12 disciples that were there in the multitude, however great or small it was, since then, 2,000 years ago, every one of them have died, and we're still waiting on the kingdom of God literal to come and be established in days that are ahead. So evidently, he has something in mind that you can see the kingdom of God by some measure spiritually, and if you see it, you will see it with the same power, same authority, same strength and force that is going to be manifested one day literally. Amen. You can. Let me put it this way. The spiritual kingdom can be seen in power in this life. Amen. I made the statement on last week that I can stand and dare to say, I have seen the power of the kingdom of God. Amen. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I said, I am seeing it. I am experiencing it. I am seeing it. I am living in it. Hey, man, I have seen and am seeing a power of the kingdom of God. Hey, man, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and in verse number 20 that the kingdom of God, it is not in word, but in power. I'm telling you today, we ain't blowing smoke. And we ain't just, my friend, using religious words. I'm telling you, there is a force. There is a power. There is a kingdom that has absolute authority. Because of the one who rules and reigns. Because of the ones in that realm that calls the shots. Because of the one that is active and working in that realm known as the kingdom of God. It is not in word, but it is in power. And power indeed. I have seen the power of the kingdom of God. Have you seen the power of the kingdom of God in your life? How would a man see such power? Amen. How can a man see the power of the kingdom of God? You remember last week, how many of y'all was here last week? Amen. Raise your hand. It's all right. Don't be embarrassed. You was here last week. Amen. You was here last week. Do you remember what we said, Brother Jack? We said if a man is going to see the power of the kingdom of God, that man must see the birthing power of the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John chapter number 3 and in verse number 3, he said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There must be birthing power. I can say this morning, I have seen the birthing power of the kingdom of God. Hey man, you say, I'm not of that old man. Hey, oh, I'm not of flesh and blood this morning. I know that I am physically, but thank God the bonds in the flesh have been broken. I've experienced more than the first birth. Hey man, 1 Corinthians 15:50, flesh and blood, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, we are warned about being deceived, and men are deceived today. That my friend, flesh cannot inherit of the kingdom of God. And those that are of the flesh, they cannot inherit it. Who's of the flesh today? I tell you, the word of God is clear. Those that are of a life of adultery, and those that are of a life of fornication, and those that are of a life of lasciviousness without any control and without any restraint. Those that are drunkard, those that are effeminate, those that are idolatrous. Amen. Over and over, the word of God says, and those that are such, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul said, and such were some of you. You see, we was all born of flesh and blood. It was all born of a fleshly nature. I thank God I have seen the power of the kingdom of God. I have seen it in its birthing power. Thereby, my friend, the Lord brings to pass a spiritual life of the Holy Ghost on the inside to radically change a sinner's life. Such were some of you. Listen, if you claim to have seen the power of the kingdom of God, and my friend, that means your life is not to be associated and identified with that list of things Paul mentioned that I told you about. Amen. So where did all of that change? Where did you first see the light of the power of the kingdom of God? I saw it September 14, 1996, on by the side of my bed. They wasn't my daddy or my mama there leading me in a prayer. There wasn't a preacher beating me over the head. But the light did shine in my little world. And thank God what happened to me a little past 4 o'clock on that morning was a work of the Holy Ghost. It was a power that this world knows nothing about. Had birthing power, the kingdom of God. Amen. That's right. Thank the Lord. Birthing power. Can I give you another one for just a moment this morning? And y'all gonna think I've gone charismatic. I promise I ain't. But I want to say this morning, I've seen the power of the kingdom of God. I've seen it in its birthing power. Can I say number two, I've seen it in its breaking power. Amen. Here's what I want you to understand about the kingdom of God this morning before I get too far into this. You say, preacher, the kingdom of God, can you break it down? Can you describe it? Can you tell me about it? I think this morning, as it relates to this matter of the power, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God refers to the reign and the rule of God in heaven, on earth, and in a man's life. As God's will is done, His glory revealed, and His power overwhelming. Have you seen the power of the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Have you seen it in its birthing power? Overwhelming your life of sin. Overwhelming your life of darkness. Overwhelming your life of vanity and hell deservingness. Only in a moment of time to be born again. And through birthing power, be translated in the kingdom of Christ.
Amen.
Birthing power. Did you say, preacher, you said, we can see the power of the kingdom of God in its breaking power. Look with me this morning in Luke chapter 11, if you'll find your place there. In Luke chapter number 11, there's this reference to the Lord dealing with a man possessed with a devil. The way this demonic activity had been portrayed in this man's life was by making him dumb. This was a man who could not speak. This was a man vexed. This was a man that is bound down by the forces of hell itself. Let me say this morning, we're living in a generation today that I believe is bound down by so much demonic activity. Bound down by sin. Bound down to perversion. Enslaved to things that God never intended for men to be enslaved to. They are bound today by the forces of darkness.
Amen.
The Bible said of Christ, as was portrayed so many times in his earthly life, when people would be brought to him possessed of devils, verse number 14 said, and he was casting out a devil. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake and the people wandered. What an amazing sight that would have been. Are y'all in the building? Here's a man who can do nothing. He can't make himself talk. He can't make himself be any different than he is. I don't know how this devil was introduced to his life. I don't know what brought the bondage into his life. I don't know, my friend, what associations, experiences he had that introduced him to this demonic activity and this vice that is in his life. But whatever it was, the day came when he was brought into the presence of the Lord of the kingdom of God, into the very presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what he could not do for himself, what religion could not do for this man, what turning a new leaf could not do, what writing a new chapter could not accomplish in his life, Jesus was able, by the power of the kingdom of God, to set this man free. He gave him breaking power. He was bound till he saw, I'm about to have a spell.
Amen.
Some of us going to shout. Some of y'all going to pout because I'm going to turn your apple cart over.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, there is breaking power.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God over every battle with hell.
Amen.
Over every bondage you've entered into. Over every sin you have yielded yourself to. Over everything that is messing you up. Over everything that is destroying your family. Over everything that has you bogged down. There is breaking power and can be seen in the realm of the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, yes, that's right. You say, preacher, I can't stop. I can't quit. I feel like I'm bound down. Preacher, my life is in a mess. Preacher, I'm destroying myself. I'm glad you're here this morning. Because I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, there is breaking power. You can't quit. You can't stop. Amen, some of you. Amen, your children have begged you to stop. And your spouse has begged you to stop, and you can't stop, and your preacher's begged you to stop, and there are people around you that have tried this and gave you that plan, but you're still in bondage today. Amen. Let me introduce you to the breaking power of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Telling you, there's a power this world knows nothing about. There's a power in the kingdom of God that AA knows nothing about. There is a power in the kingdom of God, and there's not a program made and invented by the government or even the realms of religion that can change the power of the kingdom of God, break the bondage that men are in with sin.
Amen. Amen.
You can reform your life all you want. Let's be honest. When you try to do it in your own power, ain't it amazing you wind up maybe doing good for a little while? Sister, I've watched it in their life. You'll see it in the text here in a moment. They'll run them devils out. They'll set them vices aside for a little while. But if you don't do it by the power of the kingdom of God, the devil's coming back. The vice is coming back. When the vice comes back, it's going to ratchet down in your life stronger than it's ever been before. Hey man, you only think it's strong now. Hey man, but I'm glad to tell you today, there is a power in the kingdom of God that can break that in your life. Seen it. I've seen it. Experienced it in my own life. Amen. Why is it there's some people that have an experience? We could talk about all kinds of things. All sorts of habits. We call them vices. People call them their demons. They are demons. Make no mistake about it. Your problem ain't your experience you had in life. Your problem is your relationship, the gates of hell.
Amen. Amen.
How is it that there are some make their way to an altar, yield themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, get up off their knees, having had broke on an old-fashioned altar the vice they had, and go back and live in victory?
Yes, sir.
And never bat an eye and never even long for and desire the things that was broke in their life by the power of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Then there's others try this and try that and make promises they can't keep. What's the difference? The difference is one saw the power and wanted the power and entered the power of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And the other just tried to reform.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor.
Amen.
The Bible said in this scene, some of them said, verse 15, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Satan also be divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. You know what the Lord just said? The Lord said the devil longs to have his hold on the lives of mankind.
Amen.
He'll never divide himself against himself in his work and his purpose in your life. The devil today is laughing. So many people, don't get mad at me, but the foolishness and the sin and the vice, the people live their lives in attached to the kingdom of the God of this world. You can justify it any way you want to justify it. Jesus said the devil ain't going to let his hold off a man's life. The devil has a strong hold, but notice what Jesus said. I'm about to have a spell. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, don't miss it, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. You know what Jesus said? You can't argue with the work I've come to do. Amen. 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 He said, I didn't come to bring word. I didn't come to bring more religion. I didn't come to do the work of the devil. I came to set men free. And you have just been eyewitness of the power of the kingdom of God. And it's greater and stronger and more authoritative and more powerful than the kingdom of the devil. Amen. No doubt. Ain't that interesting? There is no doubt when the power of the kingdom of God has come in breaking power. I'm greatly concerned about our generation.
Amen.
There are so many ways this generation is in bondage today. It breaks my heart. Some are in bondage to drunkenness. Some to drugs. Some are in bondage to spiritual deception. There are others that are bound down to debauchery and sexual immorality.
Amen.
We go on and on and on today about all the ways that demonic activity has their clutches into the lives and the souls of mankind.
Right.
And they ain't nothing they can do about it.
Right.
They tell me things like this: I can stop anytime I want.
Nope. Yeah.
Then stop. I can walk away anytime I want. I'm not in bondage. Prove it, big boy.
Amen.
See, the fact of the matter is, you can't. You can't. Because you have not seen the breaking power of God, and until you see the breaking power of God in your life, the devil, those demons, those vices, those sins and those temptations, but Larry, they'll just keep wreaking havoc.
Amen.
In people's lives.
Amen.
But Jesus said, you let me do my work, there'll be no doubt.
Amen.
No argument. All the evidence will be laid out. The conclusion will be drawn. And it goes on. I won't take time to expound upon it, but it goes on. Here's the conclusion he's saying when he says, no doubt the kingdom of God has come to you. Here's what he said. There's a stronger, strong man.
Amen.
The one that has you bound, there's a greater than he. And there is a stronger, strong man, and you need him by his power to come into your world, into your house, and you've got to have him to kick the devil out. You got to have the power of the kingdom of God and its breaking power if you're going to be set free from any sin.
Amen.
We could harp on the pill heads, we could harp on the adulterers and the fornicators and the rebels and the witchcraft and the drunkenness and all of those things. Some of y'all, you got vices in your life attached to that old tongue behind your teeth.
Amen.
Oh, gossip in spirit, bitterness, pride, arrogancy, all those things that are on the inside, and you know they're not right. If you're saved, you know they're not right. You know you ought not have those attitudes. You know you ought not have those kind of thoughts. You know in your life that where you are spiritually is not right. The only way you're going to get victory is to get to the stronger, strong man.
Amen.
Let him bring the power, the breaking power of the kingdom of God into your life. Jesus will conclude this section, this interaction, by speaking against reformation.
Amen.
This is what Paul had in mind when he said, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Listen, I ain't up here today trying to offer you a religious reformation to your life. Jesus said, let's suppose a man gets sick of the devil that's got him bound down and viced up in his life. And so he gets up one day and he starts trying to clean it all out. Cleans it out. He cleans it out. He runs the devil out with a broom. Doing it in his own power. Jesus said that spirit is going to walk out into the wilderness. And he's just waiting on that thirst to be created again. He's waiting on the lack of power in reformation to be experienced, because he knows there's only one true power that can keep me from coming back.
That's right. Amen.
But Tim, Jesus said, the minute that devil, that vice, that demon finds an open door, he comes back into, Jesus said, into his own house. And he don't come back by himself. And he don't come back with the same degree of strength and power he had before the Reformation. He comes back and he brings seven more unclean spirits that are worse and more powerful and more vile than the original problem.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, Brother Maurice, there are people today that if they do not get to Christ and enter into that power, the kingdom of God, breaking power.
Amen.
Hell's destroying some of y'all's life. Hell's laughing at you while they're doing it.
Amen.
Hell's destroying some of y'all's families.
Yes, sir.
It's laughing at you when you try to spin your wheels and take care of it in your own power. Hell sits back and laughs and rejoices. Some of y'all, I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm not trying to be charismatic. Some of y'all are dealing with more demons than you can even realize. They're laughing. If you could somehow see and listen into that spiritual realm, they mock you. And they scorn you and they take great joy in the power they have over your life.
Amen.
Preacher, I've tried before. I know you have. It's time to quit trying. It's time to get yourself to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And let His breaking power of His kingdom be seen in your life. You can go home changed today. You can go home today with the vices broken. You can go home today without the chains. Ain't them chains getting heavy? Ain't you tired of the bondage? You'll hear how quiet it is in here. Don't bother me a bit. You better let the Lord, by His power, break your life. Because if you don't, you ain't seen nothing yet. Ain't it amazing the things we're seeing go on in our world? I'm not out to make any enemies today. But I am here to tell you the truth. The things we're seeing in our world that are going on, all the vileness, we look around and it vexes our soul, that saved part of us. And it should. And if it don't, then there's something bad wrong with you. Can I tell you this morning, this world doesn't need more professing Christians mad and pooching their lip and blowed up about how bad the world is if you ain't going to deal with your own junk.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm tired of hearing people talk about how bad everything is, but you won't deal with your own sin.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You ain't no better than the vilest one that's out there.
Amen.
But by the grace of God.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you forget it. You can leave here today experiencing the breaking power of the kingdom of God. I've seen it. Seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of others. Been eyewitness, and I can be a firsthand testimony. Jesus can break whatever's got you bound. Let's stand together.